cash you need. If you play on market, honey, build your dynasty. Wall Street Dynasty, Wall Street, bring your lead to it. Knees, the value is the key.
Welcome everybody to the Dynasty Wall Street podcast. This is episode number 24. I am Kevin Cotillo. I have with me John Bosch. What's going on, John?
Not much. Ready to continue on talking about what guys are going to be worth going into 2019.
Absolutely. Riley Bymaster also here as well. What's going on, Riley?
Not much. Excited to be back, recording back-to-back episodes this morning. So a lot of things different, but I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun time. So for those of you who didn't catch the last episode, we went through our quarterback rankings and sort of how we're going to do the same episode. We're going to do running backs today. Wide receivers will be out shortly, and I'm assuming we'll do tight ends at some point as well. What we are doing is this. We are using the Dynasty Trade Calculator values. You can find them at dynastytradecalculator.com. And basically, this is the values for the rankings of the players according to their value in the calculator. So in other words, Saquon Barkley has the highest calculator value. He's ranked number one for running backs. What we're going to do is we have similarly ranked our players in what we expect their value to be around end of August, early September, right before the season starts next year for 2019. So we're projecting ahead. We're using the calculator's values as of current time, and we're projecting ours ahead. So we can kind of talk through the differences of where we think players are going to go. Basically, this will help, should help you to start working on your trades. It's coming up soon as the playoffs end over the next week or two, depending on your league. You're going to want to start making some moves and start looking towards the value. So who should you buy low and who should you sell high? Those kind of things. So that's what we're working on today. We're going to go through running backs. But before we get into running backs today in that format, a couple of things I want to mention. First, I want to make sure we tell you that we are excited to announce that you can now find our podcast on Clipcast. Clipcast is a new service where our episodes are automatically made searchable, along with many other podcasts, and fed into their search engine as soon as they are published. You can then search for any phrase or player and hear short audio clips around that topic. You can even filter down to the specific fantasy football genre you want, such as DFS or Dynasty. Obviously, you're going to use Dynasty for Dynasty Wall Street clips. It's free to all users. You just need to visit their website at clipca.st. to start using it. And for those podcasters out there, you can join the system and be featured right alongside the Dynasty Wall Street and many other podcasters in fantasy football world. You'll get access to their new tool set. And every time someone searches for your podcast on the site, it counts as a download for your pod. So try out Clipcast by heading over to clipca.st. Again, that website is clipca.st. You don't need the .com or anything else. Tool is great and it really helps people find targeted clips of audio from their favorite podcast. So definitely check those out. Also want to remind everyone that we do have t-shirts for sale. You can hit us up on Twitter at Dynasty Wall Street. That's ST for street. Or you can hit John Bosch at John Bosch FF, myself at Kevin Cotillo, or Riley at DTC underscore Riley B. Let us know what your size is. And they're $20 shirts. Great design. Love the logo. They're really soft, very comfortable. You'll enjoy them. So let us know if you want one of those. All right, let's get into running backs. We're going to start off by talking about the DTC values. John, I'm going to give you these values, and then I want to hear as we did with the quarterbacks, we're going to do tiers. So we'll start with your first tier afterwards. I got a feeling I know what it's going to be like, but we'll go through the top 10 here on DTC's values. Saquon obviously comes in at number one. Todd Gurley, number two. I think we all know that and expect those to be there. Alvin Kamara, Ezekiel Elliott, Christian McCaffrey, Melvin Gordon, David Johnson, Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb, and James Conner round out the top 10. Bosch, I'm assuming you're like me and you have a tier of two at the top.
I actually don't have a tier of two. I have a tier of four.
Four?
Yeah. Wow. I love Alvin Kamara and Christian McCaffrey. So while they are the bottom part of the top tier for me, I think they belong in the discussion. I think Saquon Barkley, he's number one for me. Todd Gurley, Kamara, McCaffrey. Honestly, I think any one of those four could be the running back one any given week. They all have such a high upside and such a safe floor. So I love all four of them. So I will tier all of them together.
All right. Riley, are you in John's boat, or are you more selective with your top tier?
I'm a little more selective. This is my A-plus tier. Gurley's one, and Saquon is two. I mean,
Gurley ahead of Saquon, huh?
Yes, but does it really matter?
So it doesn't, but I'm just curious, because we are talking about going into next season, and I do think Saquon will have a little bit more value going into next season than Gurley will. So I have Saquon and Gurley in the same tier at top as well.
I mean,
I have them reversed.
Yeah,
you.
They're close enough to where I think some people would still rather take Gurley because he's given you the last 3 years of just top-end elite production. And Saquon is still tied to Eli Manning and you know, the Giants offense still trying to rebuild and retool a little bit. So that maybe could be used against taking Saquon over Gurley, but
let me ask you this. We'll move on because we don't need to spend a ton of time on this, but would you trade Gurley straight up for Saquon?
I'm going to give you the cliche answer. If my team is ready to contend, I'd rather have Gurley.
I don't think it matters. And Bosch is shaking
either.
His head.
I would totally take Saquon over Gurley right now.
So, and let's flip it, Bosch. Would you trade Saquon for Gurley?
No, I would not trade Saquon for Gurley under any circumstance.
And that's why I'm the same way. So I think that's why there's that. That's why Saquon's one for me.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, it worries me that Saquon still might have Eli Manning in 2019.
Doesn't matter.
He probably will. It sounds like it. He did this year, and he still put up numbers.
He's doing okay with him this year. He can only go up from here. If Eli is the bottom, that's the worst that can happen.
I still just think I'd rather have.
Point.
I think Gurley's a tad bit safer. Just to put in my lineup every week.
Fair. All right. So let's move along into your second tier. Bosch gave us a tier of four. Your next two. What's your next tier? How many players and who's in it?
For me, it's three players. This is my A tier. I have Zeke at three, Kamara four, McCaffrey five. I fought with McCaffrey and Kamara, almost put them above, but I think they're identical assets to have right now.
So interestingly enough, I have Kamara and McCaffrey as a tier by themselves, just behind Gurley and Saquon. So that's my next two, and that's a tier all by itself. I have Elliott in the next tier, grouped in with actually a pretty decent amount of players, and I might as well get through them while we're here. I have five players in here, starting with Ezekiel Elliott. I actually have Melvin Gordon right behind him at number six for me. Lev Bell, I still am high on, so I have him at seven, even though I'm sure you guys are going to be way off on that. David Johnson and Joe Mixon actually finish out this tier for me. So, Bosch, we'll go over to you since we got your top four in a single tier. You're on to your second tier right now. Who's in that tier? How many players and who do you got?
Yeah, so my second tier is just two players. And honestly, if Ezekiel Elliott didn't have off-field issues, he'd be in my top tier. But we are all seeing what off-field issues can lead to. Different off-field issues than what we're experiencing today with Josh Gordon, but nonetheless, off-the-field issues are an issue for the NFL. So that's why Zeke is not the top for me. He just doesn't have the safety that the other four seem to have. But he does lead off my second tier. Melvin Gordon is tiered there with him. It's just those two for me. And I think, Kevin, the guys that you put in there are basically in my tier after that, except for Le'Veon Bell. But when I was looking at it, I basically said, would I take any of these guys over Melvin Gordon in any circumstance? The answer was no. Would I take any of these other guys over Ezekiel Elliott in any circumstance? And the answer was no. So those two became just kind of a clear, separated two for me out of that pack that you kind of discussed. After Ezekiel Elliott and Gordon, in the tier below that, I have, in order, Mixon, James Conner, David Johnson, and Nick Chubb, actually. So we've now gone through my top three tiers, and we are splitting between very good running backs here. But when it comes down to it, I think you can make a split of, is there any circumstance that I would ever take one of the guys below? And if I can't have that, then that's kind of where a tier breaks for me.
All right, Riley, give us your next group.
Yeah, so my third tier, it's only three players. I have Mixon at six, Melvin Gordon at seven, and then David Johnson at eight. These are guys who I think can still be, they're still bell cows, and I think they can still give you elite production and possibly even make it up into the next tier at some point in the future. But right now, they're the lowest of the elite, of the top three tiers for me. That's why I did A+, A, and then A-. So this is my A- tier. My next tier is the one that's massive. It's got a whole bunch of assets that you can rank however you want, and nobody would tell you you're crazy.
before we get into the next one, Kevin, you're the only one that is still so believing in Lev Bell. And I know he's going to have a different situation next year, but why do you think going forward in Dynasty that he can still retain that status of being so elite?
So it's a projection, right? And I know we play Dynasty football and we're all reactive and, you know, what have you done for me lately? But everyone knows what kind of talent Lev Bell had. Everyone knows what he's done on the field. And I don't think anyone really thinks that that's gone away necessarily. I think by start of 2019, we will have clarity on where he's going to play. A team is going to sign him. I don't think he's going to get signed for the league minimum. So if someone's going to pay up for him, they're going to bring him into a situation where they expect to use him. I don't think he's going to be in much of a committee. And I think that hype is just going to build. The second he signs, from that day until August, September, until right before the season starts, all you're going to hear is just hype building and building and building and building for Lev Bell. And if he plays in the preseason, which I'm sure he will next year since he took the entire season off, even though he usually doesn't play in the preseason, I'll bet he will. That first long run that he gets when he breaks one, boom, there's his value back. So I think he can easily be in this tier. I mean, I have him at 7. I could have put him at 9 after Joe Mixon because that tier is relatively interchangeable for me. So fine if you want to drop him a few more spots. I just think once you get to that point in the season next year, he's going to have value again. And by the way, that's the time to sell him. So, but, you know, I do think, you know, he'll be 27 at that time. He's a 26-year-old running back right now. So he's not on the downside necessarily yet. He just had an entire year off. Yeah. So his body's fresh. These are all the things that you're going to hear, right? And I think by that time, that's where the value will be for him.
Yeah, I don't totally disagree that his value will be jumping up before the 2019 season. I think there is some risk to it because if he doesn't sign quickly, and it's the longer it takes for him to sign, I think the more fearful that people will be that no matter what he signs, there's always going to be that chance that he just might walk away at some point if he's just not happy again. He has shown that he will do it. So that'll always stick in my head that he is a guy that could walk away at any time. And my investment could go from whatever I put into him to an absolute zero, which is a risk that I just don't personally ever like.
So he missed out on $14 million this past season. He's going to need to make some of that back.
He's not going to need to make some of it back. Well, he is going to make a lot of money.
He's going to make a lot of money. He's going to want to make some of it back. He's not going to walk away.
No, but because, if he plays 1 year because, and then walks away.
But even still, if he plays 1 year, if he's on the field at the start of next season, he has incredible value. Correct. I don't think that people are knocking him down.
From a value perspective, I agree. He will jump back up there.
All right, let's get into the next tier for me because I'm with Riley. It's a very long tier. I have 8 players in it, and it starts with number 10 for me. But before we do that, I'll go through the next 10 on the DTC list here. We're talking about players 11 through 20, and it goes Fournette, Dalvin Cook, Lev Bell comes in there at 13 on the DTC value, Kerryon Johnson at 14, Darius Geis at 15, Sony Michel, Aaron Jones, Philip Lindsay, Devonta Freeman, and Mark Ingram round out the top 20. My fourth tier at this point, because I had the two tiers of two at the top and then another tier, and then this is my fourth tier. I start off with James Conner at 10. I have Nick Chubb at 11, Aaron Jones at 12, Dalvin Cook at 13, Leonard Fournette at 14, which hurt me because I really wanted to put Sony Michel, who's my next guy, up above him. Darius Geis comes in at 16 and Kerryon Johnson at 17. I'm with Riley, and Riley, I don't know if you have similar players in your long tier, but I'm with you in that this tier of 8 players, I could literally interchange them in a number of different ways and be fine with it. I think Connor needs to be towards the top. I think Chubb needs to be towards the top of it. But after that, it's relatively, you know, I'm not going to kill you if you want to move him around. So, Riley, what's your big tier?
It's actually pretty similar. I have Chubb starting at, he's number 9 for me, but he's at the top. Dalvin Cook right after him. And then James Connor right after Chubb and Cook. But, I mean, again, those three can be in any order, and I'm not going to kill you. Lev Bell comes in after that. He's at number 12. Darius Geis at 13, and Aaron Jones rounds out the tier at 14. So it's only six players for me, but it just feels like a much bigger tier considering the top eight guys are in three separate tiers for me.
John, where are you? You have another big section. Are we still on track with you? You got different players here. What are you thinking?
It's kind of the same group of players, but I do have them split into two different tiers because I do feel there's a little bit of clarity as to who I want or who I think will be more valuable going into 2019. I like that you put Connor and Chubb at the top of yours, seeing as those were in my tier three guys. So my fourth tier is three of the guys that we were talking about out of this group. Dalvin Cook, then Le'Veon Bell, then Kerryon Johnson. To me, I think they're separate from that next group, which is my next tier of Fournette, Geis, Aaron Jones, Sony Michel so far down. It hurt me as well, Kevin. I want to push him higher, but value-wise, I don't think he will be. I don't think he'll be that much higher going into 2019. And then Philip Lindsay out of, you know, nowhere to now pretty daggone valuable and from a fantasy standpoint. So basically, I have the same group of guys, but I think there's a clear top three, clear enough that I'll make a tier break because I would trade Cook, Bell, or Johnson. I would take any of those over top of any of the other guys in that group.
I'm kind of surprised you put Kerryon up that high. Riley, where
I like
was your,
him.
Where
he's
was
in
Kerryon
my next
for you?
Tier.
He was
he's
he in the next tier?
Yeah.
All right. So what's your next tier then, since we're talking about it?
I cut off after Aaron Jones, and you can make the argument that Sony Michel, who's the top of this tier, is kind of in the same boat, but this tier for me starts with Michelle, then Kerryon Johnson, and it this is weird because I think you should sell high on these players. Philip Lindsay, Derrick Henry, and then I snuck in Tevin Coleman. I love Tevin Coleman personally. He would be higher than Lindsay and Henry, but I mean, Lindsay's everybody's sweetheart, and Derrick Henry has literally won you some money this year if you played him. So I mean, that tier is only five players for me, so it's still just kind of a good players, good potential, but also now is where we're starting to take on some risk. And that's,
I think you guys are right on for the most part. Bosh, I think I just, with Kerryon Johnson, I don't know that I trust that team yet enough to I mean, I liked what I saw from him. I just don't trust the team. I just don't trust that he's going to be utilized the way maybe he should. I don't know that he's going to be an every down back. And, you know, I don't know. That makes me a little nervous. That's why he's the end of that tier for me. I do think with Sony Michel, John, we've talked about it a lot. I didn't think 2018 was going to be his year. I thought 2019 was going to be his year. So I'll expect his big jump in value to hopefully be 2020, because I think we'll see a lot more production in the, you know, next year than we did this year. But so that's kind of where I'm at. Even though it hurts to put Sony this low, I think you're right. His value just didn't hold at all this season. Or maybe it held because he was probably around the same point.
Yeah,
at the
beginning.
Yeah,
I think it held. I don't think it went up though. Like yeah, we would like, but at least I don't think it really decreased too much.
Right. So, I guess the one that I'm curious about from you guys is Riley. You have Dalvin Cook up pretty high. He's made me even more nervous this year than he did coming into this year when he was coming off an injury. We've seen some flashes. He's had some good games, but I think we've seen some duds from him too, and I'm worried that he's going to be that type where, you know, he might win you some weeks, you know, sort of like Derrick Henry. Obviously they're completely different players, but sort of like that from a fantasy perspective where he might win you a week because he'll have, you know, 30 points, but he might get you seven or eight too and really hurt you.
Yeah, and I think that it was just kind of a weird string of multiple things. He was obviously still coming off of that ACL injury from last year. So was he 100% at the start of 2018? I would say no. I'd say he's probably at 80%, 85%. But with the potential that this offense had coming into this year, I think putting Dalvin Cook in at 80% is still better than putting Latavius Murray in. And Murray's actually been a pretty solid running back, but at Dalvin's potential, they're not even close. So I think that's why Cook kind of came back maybe just a tad bit too soon. And when you throw in that John DeFilippo didn't have a great year calling plays, I think it was his first year when he had everything in his control. I think he struggled a little bit. And I think Kirk Cousins didn't really find his footing early. And I think that kind of hurt. I think they were trying to get Cousins in perfect sync with Thielen and Diggs. Things kind of went astray, and Cousins and Thielen hooked up and just had a magical run for like 2.5 months. And I think through the month of December is we've seen the real Dalvin Cook at 100%. And that could be 30 points And I think his floor is going to start to come out a little up, a little more upwards towards 15 points.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to come back in value. I think he's going to have a really good 2019 because he's going to be healthy this offseason. And that's why he's up right below Chubb and actually above Connor, but it's splitting hairs at that point.
So one more that I want to ask you about, John, because I obviously was much higher. I had Aaron Jones at 12. I think you had him further down into even into your next tier.
I have him at 16.
Or so
17.
So I'm curious only because is it the injury? You know, obviously you've been shut down for the rest of this year. Is the injury ending on an injured note? Is it was it the you know, suspension of to start the early part of this year? I mean, or is it just a conglomerate of? Because I look, when I've seen him on the field, I've loved. I think he's explosive. He's clearly a lead back, and I think he can handle a workload. So I'm a lot higher on him because of that, especially given that I think that offense will rebound next year. I think you'll see much more production out of them next year than, you know, you did this year. I think everyone will be back on the Green Bay Packers again at the beginning of the season when you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. It's kind of hard not to. So any particular reason you're that much further down on him, or?
No, I mean, you kind of put it together right there. The injuries, the lack of production, the suspension. You know, granted, they'll have a new coaching staff, so I think he should get a bump as long as they have a coaching staff that comes in and believes in him. But what if that coaching staff comes in and believes in Jamal Williams or believes, you know, believes in a split backfield? Like, you know, we don't really know what's going to happen just yet. I think he could go either way. So I think I'm kind of hedging, putting him in an area where he's not in running back one status, but he's not close to running back three status. He's right in the middle of a nice, solid running back two. You know, he's in a tier with Leonard Fournette, Darius Geis, Sony Michel, and Philip Lindsay for me. That tier, for the most part, are guys that I think you should probably go out and buy. I would love to buy Geis, Jones, and Michel, all of them, this offseason. I'm not interested in buying Leonard Fournette. Never have been, never will be. And Philip Lindsay, while I love what he's doing, I think the price to get him is more than I'm willing to invest at this point. The Philip Lindsay share that I have, love it, but I'll probably be more likely to sell it than to go out and buy more.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to trust a guy that, as Riley has mentioned in the past, weighs 150 pounds soaking wet. So, you should. But speaking of those guys, Philip Lindsay
points.
Philip Lindsay included in my next tier here. I think I'm working on my tier five. It starts with number 18, and Devonta Freeman is still there for me. I know that you guys are a little further down on him. I completely understand why, but I do think the value will come back up a little bit next year. 19, I have Tariq Cohen. Philip Lindsay comes in just behind him, and then Derek Henry and Tevin Coleman round out this tier for me. I understand putting Henry up because we'll see it again next year. Everyone will buy into Derek Henry again at the beginning of the year, and then he'll be a joke again 3 weeks into the season because that's what he does. And
he
then he'll have a, you know, 200-yard game. And everyone
in the NFL playoffs.
He did the same exact thing last year. Yeah. It's crazy to me, but it will happen again. So you have to rent, you know,
you
have to put him in there.
There's a chance that maybe Tennessee realizes it and thinks maybe our game plan should involve using him in 2019. Do you think there's a chance that could happen?
Have you watched him run?
Again. Don't care. He puts up points.
But I think Tennessee cares, and that's the thing,
right? I saw
him
get 33 carries last week. Wasn't it 33? That's a volume that you can't argue with. I get that people don't like how he plays. That's fine. Like, I won't even argue that. But that volume, if he gets that volume.
But he won't.
Okay, and that's fine if you don't believe that he will. I don't.
Here's what I would
believe
do
that he will either.
I was
but
working
I wanted
with
to ask
the Tennessee
the question,
Titans.
So
the best thing that came out from Derrick Henry's college tape was that his first carry and his 50th carry look identical. He doesn't break down, and that's awesome. But when you play him in the first and second quarter, the defense is fresh, so they're going to hit him behind the line and they're going to bring him down. But if you play him in the late third and fourth quarter, the defense is getting a little tired. They've been on the field for almost 2.5 hours at that point. That's when Henry excels. And I think the same can be said throughout an NFL season. Everybody's, you know, we're through 15 weeks now and injuries are piling up. Everybody has nicks and bruises everywhere. And you have a freaking 270-pound dump truck coming at you that you can't stop. So I think he plays better at the end of games and at the end of seasons because no one can stop him like that. He never plays well early on.
All right. So that's my next tier. Do you, Bosch, where's, is Freeman in your next tier? Or am I way off here?
No, Freeman is in my next tier. Derrick Henry's still not. So in case anybody was unclear there, I was just asking the question to pose the question. Not that I'm not jumping on the Derrick Henry train. Again, never have been, never will. My next tier, and we are starting at number 19 here. It's Tevin Coleman. Because value-wise, I think when he does sign, he's going to be the Jerick McKinnon. I mean, we saw it last year. He's going to sign in a place.
But he's better than Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah, he's done great.
Again,
he's done
again
great.
Bosch doesn't care how good he is.
I don't care how good somebody is or isn't. I care about fantasy points. That's it. That's what matters. No, so Tevin Coleman at the top of the tier. And then the guy that he's going to create the opening when he leaves, Devontae Freeman, who I'm starting to get back on. Like me and Kevin were talking before the podcast. I was getting off the Devontae Freeman last offseason. I think this offseason I'm going to be looking to add a couple of shares in places. I think he's a guy that'll be cheaper. He's getting a little bit older, you know, coming off injury, but I think he's going to have a good opportunity next year. So we're getting to that point where I like buying cheap guys. So Tevin Coleman, Devontae Freeman, Tariq Cohen, and then I actually have Marlon Mack in this tier as well. I think he's starting to show quite a bit, and he is going to be paired with a young Andrew Luck offense. So I think he's got that potential to have a nice value kick between what he was at the beginning of the year in 2018 and what he will be at the beginning of 2019.
All right, Riley, let's hear it. Your next tier.
This is what I call my B-minus tier. They're still Bs, but they're getting a little close to a C-plus, and there's a lot of risk, except for one guy. And it's weird because I don't know where to put him. So Leonard Fournette kicks off this tier.
Wow.
Wow.
I hate Fournette.
You hate him more than I do.
He's so valuable, Fournette, though. He would be. I know that you don't like him, but you know he has value out there.
I don't think he does.
He does.
He does. He does.
It is fallen. Okay, sorry. I should have phrased that better. He doesn't have the same value he had 2 months ago.
Correct.
And I mean, it's annoying.
Remember when Dalvin Cook increased in value when he was injured?
I think that's so different. I actually just sold Fournette. I got AJ Green and a 2019 second. I like it because, I mean, again, Green's kind of the same way, but I think he's safer.
I'll take Green's production over Henry's. I mean, Fournette any day. I'm with you there.
Henry.
I just think you could. I personally, if I'm just like forgetting about value and what I could get, I would take AJ Green over Fournette in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But,
and I mean, if we're talking about Fournette, would you rather have Philip Lindsay or Leonard Fournette going into 2019?
Value aside, like for actual production on my roster?
Sure.
It's a toss up for me.
Exactly. It's weird because Fournette used to be up with Dalvin and, you know, Joe Mixon and Melvin Gordon. Now he's gone.
He's still there for me on my list only because there's value in the market for him. That, like, which is what we're talking about, right? And even more so, they get, let's say they somehow get away from, you know, they find a replacement for Blake Bortles and everyone's back on the Jacksonville Jaguars as a top team going into next year. I mean, people are going to be hyped about Leonard Fournette. TJ Yeldon will probably have signed with another team because I think his contract's up this year and he'll be a free agent. So going into next season, if Fournette's the only guy on the roster that you can, you know, really know, he's going to have value.
What number did you have? Where did you have Leonard Fournette at, Kevin?
He was 14 for me.
Okay, same here. So, okay, I was just making sure I wasn't the highest. I guess I'm tied for the highest on Leonard Fournette. Oof.
See, and like these aren't my rankings. I really think his value is going to drop below Tevin Coleman. When Coleman enters free agency, that's when you should flip Coleman. I think Derrick Henry is going to be valued above him. Lindsay, and then we're getting into Kerryon, Michelle, Aaron Jones. I just think all those guys are going to have more value on the market than Fournette
will. If you can trade Derrick Henry for Leonard Fournette, wow.
It's a lose-lose.
It is not. Even I will take Leonard Fournette in that deal in a heartbeat.
I will give you this, Riley. I do think that Fournette's the type of guy who will have a very staggered value chart over the offseason, right? I think it'll go up, it'll go down, it'll go up, it'll go down. But I do think...
Oh, that's just the worst kind of asset.
Agreed. But I do think the time to sell will be right before the season next year. And
okay.
So, and I think that's when his value will spike the most.
Yeah. I think you might be able to buy him in February, you know, when everybody's kind of on the 2019 class. they're on the free agents. I think then if you want to go buy Fournette and then wait for this summer, that I think would be a decent option if you wanted to do that. I just don't think right now his value is very high. And I think that's why it comes in at this tier for me. Fournette at the top of the tier, Jordan Howard, and sorry, I'm going to put Tariq Cohen above Jordan Howard.
Thank you.
But Fournette, Cohen, Howard, Devontae Freeman, Mark Ingram. It's why it's the B minus tier. They're Bs, but there's a little bit of risk in every single one of them. Obviously, Ingram is maybe starting to hit his decline. I believe he's going to be 30 this offseason. So he and Devontae Freeman, I know Freeman was starting to kind of edge off a little bit and then he got hurt. I want to put Cohen in the tier above, but I don't really think I can put him in the same tier as Tevin Coleman. But I get it if you did. He's really close.
I did, and you
He's
should.
Odd for me.
All right. Just before we jump, and before we get to your next tier, the 21 through 30 on the calculator, Jordan Howard, Marlon Mack, Tariq Cohen, Royce Freeman, Kareem Hunt still comes in there. I think we might, I don't know if you guys have him ranked or not, but we'll talk about that in a couple minutes. Tevin Coleman, Rashad Penny, James White, Derrick Henry, and Lamar Miller. So Derrick Henry's still down. This was pulled from a little while ago, too. So the value of Henry, I expect to go up soon. So John, what's your next tier?
So my next tier is Mark Ingram, Derrick Henry, Royce Freeman, Rashad Penny, and Jordan Howard.
Okay. I'm very similar with mine. Rashad Penny comes into the top of mine. Mark Ingram, James White, Lamar Miller is a tier. And then Marlon Mack, Jordan Howard, Royce Freeman. And I actually do have Kareem Hunt in that last tier at 30. So the similar there. Riley, why don't you round out yours and then we can have a discussion on some of the players that we find interesting in these last two tiers here, two or three.
This is my C tier. The players that have a little bit of upside, but I really don't want. Marlon Mack is in a tier of his own. I didn't say that because who knows what to do with Mack. He looks really good, but I think they could also bring in Lev Bell, Tevin Coleman. They could draft somebody in the first two rounds, and I wouldn't be shocked. Mack is weird, and I don't know what to do with him. That's a podcast, and that's what I'm going to say. I don't know what to do with Mack, so don't ask me. So he's in a tier of his own. The next one is Rashad Penny, Kenyon Drake, Chris Carson, Royce Freeman, James White, Deion Lewis, if you want to throw him in there. It's a tier of weird players. They make for decent flex plays, and all of them could have spikes in value, but that's why they're at the bottom. And then if you want to throw Kareem Hunt in there, I don't know what the hell to do with Kareem Hunt. He broke my heart. I don't know. It's a tragic love story that I don't want to get into.
All right, so John, what are the players from these tiers? And I don't know, did you finish out your list? Sorry if
I mean, for the most part, there's other guys that I don't really have tiered, but I find interesting that I think they have to have some value, and it is Kareem Hunt's in that, you know, like he still has to have some sort of value, but I don't have it in me to put him in any of the tiers, but I think he's definitely a player that needs to be discussed. Kenyon Drake and Ronald Jones, also we have not talked about them, but I think they deserve a little discussion. And then James White as well, just because God, every year he just keeps doing it. How long can he keep doing it? So other than that, like everybody below that feels like a guy that could be out of a job within a year. So while they do all probably hold like second round value pick in season for like every single running back beyond here, as the season starts off, I don't really see any of them as being guys that somebody's going out to look for. So I don't think they have, you know, value that's really worth talking about a lot.
You bring up an interesting guy, and Ronald Jones is a guy that I don't have on my list. I probably should have. He's an absolute buy for me this offseason.
Same.
Because the value is next to nothing. You can get him for just about anything, and I think at the very worst, he's going to get a shot, right? He's going to be on the roster. He's not going to get cut. He was a second-round pick. They'll have a new coaching staff, most likely. So I think he's a guy, why not take a shot on? I liked the you know, I liked him coming out of school. And Riley, maybe you can give us your thoughts on what he was out of school. But you're a second round pick for a reason. So
yeah, and I was not a Jones guy. I thought he was a one cut, one dimensional speed guy who ran with shoulders too high. And I thought it would take him a long time to develop if he did. And obviously this year, he did nothing. I mean, Peyton Barber got snaps. Jaquizz Rodgers got snaps. Maybe it's just taking him time to transition.
We've seen one cut runners succeed very well in the right offensive system with the right blocking scheme.
Yes, and I don't think Tampa does that. I think they're going to be more spread out.
Not right now.
Obviously with... Right, not right now. Things could change, if, especially if they decide to part with Jameis. That's another... Man, that sucks. Yeah, so I mean, I hated Ronald Jones coming out. I didn't like him. But even now, I would buy him for a third, just because you have to look at it like an investment. It's cheap, and it could very well work out for you, where you could flip, you know, after four games, flip that Ronald Jones share for a second.
What's your line on him, Riley? Because I agree, I'd buy him for a third. I don't think that somebody that just paid a first for him is going to jump out at a third. Would you give the 212 for him?
I don't know.
Yes or no?
I probably would, just because my mindset is, well, 212 is basically 30.
211.
Yeah. I think single digits is a good way to put it. I would not buy for 209, okay, but 210 and below, I think
right where I'm at too. What about you, Kevin?
Yeah, it's about the same for me. I'd probably go, I might go into the mid twos if I really had, depending on what I'm looking at from draft value at this point in the season, you know, as we get further along. Right now, I'd probably stick with a late two. Might kick up a little bit depending on who I like coming out next year and those kind of things and all that team needs. But right now, yeah.
I think a lot of people might be able to get him for that too.
I think so too.
I don't think you're going to get him for a third. Like if you offer a third, I think that person is just going to be like, no. At this point, I either have to sink with the ship or hope that he rebounds to the point where I can get better.
Yeah, because what are they getting with a third round pick, right? Is the mentality. Nothing that's better than a dart throw it on, you know.
Probably not a running back with Ronald the draft Jones. Stock that Ronald Jones has.
Right, exactly. So, all right, we didn't talk about it a lot. A little bit, we discussed Kareem Hunt, but let's talk about it a little bit, because it is important to talk about. And obviously, you know, we're not going to get into any of the off-field stuff or what's going on with him, but the value is obviously depleted because he's not on a roster currently. He most likely has, at minimum, a six-game suspension coming when he does sign with a team. Having said that...
Does he sign?
Well, that was going to be my question. I guess
that's what worries me.
And that's what worries me too. But let me ask you this: we just talked about Ronald Jones for a late second. Is Kareem Hunt worth a third?
I'd give a third. I would not give a late second for him. I would give a third. I would stash him on every single roster I had for a third round pick if I could. The upside boom of that is so ridiculously high, and it's not like he can't come back. He can go through the right steps and do what he has to do to make it so that somebody will give him a second chance. I mean, the NFL does give second chances to plenty of players. He can recover from it. So I will gladly invest a third round pick to get him on every roster if I could.
Would you give the 212?
Probably. 212, yeah.
Would you give 211? Same thing you did to me like 5 minutes ago.
It would probably depend on how much depth I had at running back. If it's a deep team, which if it's a pick that I earned the 212 or 211, I'm assuming it's a decent team and it's coming off a championship game appearance, I probably would, to be honest. I don't want to, but I probably would. 210, I probably wouldn't.
Let me ask you this. What are you going to get at the 210?
Yeah.
Do you have better chances of hitting on a player at 210 or Kareem Hunt figuring stuff out and getting back to the NFL?
At 210, here's the scenario that I feel. I just missed the championship game. So I think I can use that 210 in a way that can improve my roster and my starting lineup that can put me over the edge. It might not be to draft a rookie, but I can use that 210 to maybe combine it with something else. 211, 212, like people don't, there's a difference to that. Those are, like Riley said, people consider those thirds almost. Of course, people don't consider the 302 to be almost a second. If you go that way, of course it doesn't work both ways.
Almost wrote an article about that.
Of course it doesn't work both ways. But so if I'm just out of the playoffs, or just out of the championship, I don't want Kareem Hunt. That's not the investment that's not what I want to use my capital to invest in, because it's not going to help me.
On an almost championship game team, you don't want to add Kareem Hunt in, say, week 8 of next year?
I don't think he'll be playing in week 8 of next year.
It's a long time between now and then. I don't either. I don't know. I really don't.
Kareem Hunt is a 2020 and beyond play.
Do you think so?
I think so.
Yeah.
So here's my
Here's my
other question before we wrap up the Kareem Hunt discussion. He was obviously a a third round pick, Riley? NFL third round pick. So
yes.
Third round pick going to an offense that was very good, even with Alex Smith as the quarterback. It was a very open offense, a lot of downfield shots, which creates room for the running back. Is he a guy that will succeed in other offenses? Or was he, I mean, obviously he's got talent. There's no question about that, right? But my question is more, is he a 1,400 yard back, or is he a 900 yard back on a team that's not as spread open and easy to run?
He would be, for me, in the same tier as Nick Chubb, Dalvin Cook, James Conner.
Okay.
I think that's where he would be. If he was still with Kansas City, he'd be right below McCaffrey.
Sure.
And Kamara.
Sure.
He'd be 5.5. But
put him on Indy next year.
Yeah, I think the Nick Chubb, Dalvin Cook tier works a lot.
Okay.
And then at that point, I think they'd become a tier of themselves, and then you'd have Geis, Jones, Michelle kind of clumped together, because I don't think they're Kareem Hunt. So yeah, I'd put him right there.
If he's back and he's playing and on the field, I mean, he jumps into my second tier immediately. I don't really care exactly where it is. I think that when he was with Kansas City, that is what put him up in top tier for me. I mean, quite frankly, he would be right there with Kamara and McCaffrey if none of this ever happened. And that's my top tier. So I think I would put him right there with Ezekiel Elliott and Melvin Gordon. If I see him back on the field and I know that everything has been straightened out and he's gotten that second chance and he's producing, he goes straight back into the second tier for me. That's not anything I'm going to get out of a guy in the third round. Like, that's impossible to get, it feels like, from a third round pick. So that upside's huge.
I'm going to offer it right now, one of my leagues. Offer a 19 third for Kareem Hunt.
See what
you
happens.
You guys have talked me into
it. We will report back to that on a future episode. And any other guys that you guys feel like need to be highlighted before we shut this one down for running back?
I think TJ Yeldon's a name to highlight.
Okay.
Going to be a free agent. And even if somehow Jacksonville manages to keep him, I think he's interesting. He's played relatively well this year. Of course, they tried to give snaps to Mr. Fournette, and then they traded for Carlos Hyde, which is beyond me why they would do that. But great pass catcher. I think he runs pretty well for his kind of role. I think he's a really good buy low that could turn out very nicely for you next year.
What would you give for him right now?
Mid to late second. I'd give a mid-second for Yeldon.
So you give more for Yeldon than you would for either Fournette or Kareem Hunt?
No, not Fournette. Not Fournette.
Not Fournette.
Didn't you say Fournette?
Ronald Jones.
I'm sorry, Ronald Jones.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yes, because I think TJ Yeldon is a safer play.
Okay.
And for, say, the 207, am I really looking to make a big splash with the 207? No. But I think Yeldon could give you low-end running back 2 production. Should he sign with a team that gives him an opportunity?
All right. Bosch, any other running backs that you think we should highlight?
I mean, not really. We're getting to the point where a lot of guys just, I don't think there's much value in them. There's a couple of young guys like Matt Breda, Josh Adams. Do you guys have interest in them?
No, I don't. Josh Adams is an intriguing one. I think that he did run well when given the opportunity in certain cases, but they just keep bringing in running backs, so it's hard to determine where they're going to land in the offseason. And with Breda, I mean, I do think McKinnon will come back. I probably think he'll probably still be on that team.
We didn't even talk about McKinnon either.
No, I mean, you can't. The value's just trash right now. But I do, and it probably won't be great going into next season either. But
if he gets the San Francisco running back, whew.
But I don't think people are going to count on him doing that, right? Because of Breda and because of, you know, maybe they bring in another guy.
Tevin Coleman.
Tevin Coleman, exactly. I mean, you can see that happening and just killing all of them. So, I don't know. I'm not interested in either of those guys.
What about Duke Johnson? We didn't even talk about him, and he had so much value last year. His value kind of went in the crapper this year,
honestly.
But
you could... You could throw Duke Johnson in that tier with James White, Chris Carson, Royce Freeman, Kenyon Drake.
Yeah.
They all just seem like the same type of player.
Yeah, they're mid-second round assets, right?
Yeah.
That you want some, if you want some depth on your roster, those are the guys you're going
to
go for.
So here's how I actually have started to treat that kind of level of running back. I don't want any of them in the offseason. Don't want any of them. And then in season, when I know which one's actually producing, which one had an injury to another guy in their backfield, I will just overpay for them. I don't care, because at least then I know what I'm getting. But if I go and invest like a second round in all of these guys, maybe one of them hits. And if I, you know, pick four of them and I give up 4 seconds, like then I, one of them is the one that I actually end up wanting. I'll just wait and I'll just pay the late first that it costs me next year, because at least then I know what I'm getting. Not that I ever want to pay really that much for any of these guys, but when you're a championship contender and teams see that, they know what they're coming after, right? Like they're not going to give it to you for the 212. I've started to attack this type of running back differently. I don't want them in the offseason. They serve me no good, because they could all just go to zero. So I'll just wait and overpay later.
I can't argue with you there. All right, we got to wrap this discussion up because we're getting a little long here. So thank you to everyone for listening to this episode of the Dynasty Wall Street, the running back edition. Hopefully you enjoyed this format. We're going to do another one for wide receivers, which should be coming out in about a week for your listening pleasure. Just want to remind you again to check out Clipcast by going to clipca.st. Check those out. You'll find some clips from Dynasty Wall Street. And just another reminder to hit us up on Twitter if you would like to purchase a shirt for $20 at Dynasty Wall Street for Street, at Kevin Cotillo, at John Bosch FF, at DTC underscore Riley B. Those are our handles. You can get us there. Hit us up anytime and let us know if you want a shirt, or just let us know what you think of the show. We'll be back next time. See ya.
If you play on market, honey.